My dear parishioners, we continue today on the third Wednesday of Lent to reflect upon the seven last words of our Lord. So today will be the third word, when our Lord turned to his mother and said, "Woman, behold thy son," and then turned to St. John and said, "Behold thy mother." And there are a number of things we can learn from these words of our Lord. First of all, as a dutiful son, he was making certain that his mother would be provided for. St. Joseph had passed away. Our Lord, of course, was the only son, and he wanted to make sure that she, a widow, would be provided for. And tradition tells us that St. John, who remained in Jerusalem for the first couple of years after the ascension, then went to Ephesus and lived there. And in fact, there is an area of ruins, I'm told, in Ephesus, that is referred to by the locals as the House of the Blessed Virgin, that's where St. John lived with Our Lady, and she attended his Mass every day. He was, you might say, her chaplain, where she received Holy Communion from his hands and spent, no doubt, a great deal of her time in adoration of Our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So, Our Lord provided for his mother, but he also, in the person of St. John, gave her to us. And there's an interesting sermon of St. Augustine on that. I'd like to read a portion of it. And it's interesting, he speaks about what an exchange, what a sorrow that was for our Blessed Mother. He says, "You received the disciple for the master, the son of Zebedee for the son of God, mere man for very God." What an exchange that he was giving her John to be, so to speak, her son and to take his place. But in the person of St. John, our Lord gave her to all of us and gave us to her as her children, her spiritual children, and she, our spiritual mother. And think about what it took, so to speak, for our Blessed Mother to accept us, to embrace us within the folds of her immaculate heart. Because we, by our sins, were responsible for the passion and death of her son. It reminds us of an example of many saints, but one that comes to mind is St. Maria Goretti, that you've heard the story before. Her mother, Assunta, many years, I think it was about 25 years after her death, the man, Alessandro, was released from prison. And he went right away to meet her and to apologize to her, tell her how sorry he was for his terrible crime. And she not only forgave him, but she said, "I want you tomorrow morning to kneel with me at Mass and to receive Holy Communion with me." So there they were, mother and the murderer of her daughter, kneeling side by side at the communion rail. So this was truly a good, devout Catholic woman who completely forgave him. In fact, she said to Alessandro, "If my daughter forgave you, who am I not to forgive you?" But our Blessed Mother did not reject us, so to speak, at the foot of the cross, knowing that we, by our sins, are responsible for the death of her son. So when our Lord said those words, she again embraced all of us as our spiritual mother and took upon herself that role to intercede for us, to, as a loving mother, to be interested in our spiritual well-being. So the sermon, I said St. Augustine, this is actually a sermon of St. Bernard. The martyrdom of the Virgin is set before us. Oh, and I'm sorry, I should mention, this is from the Divine Office. This is read in the Divine Office on the Feast of the Seven Sorrows on the Friday of Passion. I don't know if it's also used on her feast in September, maybe, but a sermon of St. Bernard. The martyrdom of the Virgin is set before us both in the prophecy of Simeon and in the story of the Lord's Passion. The saintly old man had said to the child Jesus, "Behold, this child is destined for a sign that shall be contradicted. To Mary," he said, "and thine own soul a sword shall pierce. Yes, truly, O blessed mother, the sword pierced your soul. Only by passing through your soul could it penetrate to the body of your son. When Jesus, your son, had given up his spirit, when the cruel spear which pierced his side could no longer touch his soul, it transfixed yours. His soul was no longer there. Yours was. It could not be torn away. The sword of sorrow did indeed pierce your soul. We call you more than martyr, because your love, which made you suffer with your son, brought pain of soul far more exquisite than any pain of body. Woman, behold thy son. Was not this word of thy son far more piercing than any sword, as it thrust in and cut apart soul and spirit? Oh, what an exchange you are given, John for Jesus, the servant for the Lord, the disciple for the Master, the son of Zebedee for the Son of God, mere man for very God. How keenly those words must have pierced your loving soul. Mere remembrance of them can ring with sorrow our hard, steely hearts. So beautiful words of St. Bernard that point out that this third word of our Lord from the cross to his blessed mother, "Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother," that it was a sorrow of our blessed mother. We say that her fifth sorrow was when she stood at the foot of the cross. And everything about our Lord's death and the various words, etc., were a keen sorrow to her. But how much those words must have cost her, knowing that she was being given in charge of us as our spiritual mother. How grateful we must be to her for accepting us as her children. Let us be lovingly submissive to her guidance and intercession.